Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. I'm Bob Getty. Kelly Sanders here with me. Luke Johnson's in Laurel. We're glad you're with us wherever you're tuned in on the Super Talk Radio Network. Opening segment of the show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to enjoy lunch or dinner. Great place to cater your next event. And they're great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. Dickey's Barbecue right by the mall here in Hattiesburg, and just a great place to take your family. Kevin Warner is the Assistant Athletic Director for Communication at James Madison University. He'll be joining us here momentarily, later in the show, I should say, to introduce that school to Eagle Hour listeners. Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. We'll talk a little Saints football here in a few minutes. But first, baseball news. It seems that baseball never leaves us. Good news, bad news, I guess, depending on how you look at it. 5 Southern Miss pitchers drafted by Major League Baseball. Luke will have the names. The Golden Eagles do sign another impressive pitcher to the roster. Before we give our analysis and opinions, Luke, update us on the pitchers that were drafted and the pitcher that's coming in.
All right, first and foremost, just to remind our listeners, Dalton Rogers and Tyler Stewart went in the earlier rounds of the draft. Rogers went 99th overall to the Boston Red Sox. Tyler Stewart, that was in the third round. Tyler Stewart went 179 overall, the sixth round, to the New York Mets. Yesterday, right after we got all off air, 3 more Golden Eagles were drafted. Landon Harper went in the 14th round, 425th overall to the Atlanta Braves. And then in the 15th round, 444 overall, Ben Etheridge goes to the Minnesota Twins. And then one round later in the 16th round at pick 490 overall, Garrett Ramsey goes to the Boston Red Sox. Before we get into who's coming in, I mean, that is 5 pitchers that were drafted. And later in this segment, Bob, I'll just kind of tell you how different, you know, the pitching staff is going to look like. Because when you look at graduation portals and draft, I mean, yeah, I mean, this pitching staff took a hit. Now, we do think Rogers and Stewart will probably sign. Etheridge and Ramsey, in interviews with our good friend Andrew Abadie of Pine Belt Sports yesterday, kind of hinted that they were going to sign, but Landon Harper is a guy you don't know what he's going to do in the 14th.
Right. Well, there are 2 ways to look at this, Kelly Sanner. You can, and you do want to congratulate these young men. You do, and certainly I do. The ones that are drafted and going to get the big money, the $500,000, $700,000 signing bonuses, clearly everybody would take that. But I've always found it so frustrating that some of these kids are persuaded to leave for really what you and I know is not as much money as it may appear. You say you get a $200,000 signing bonus. Okay, well, the government sucks up 40-45% of that, and basically you've got a year's salary, you know, of a good job. And then 99%, am I right, Kelly, disappear into the obscurity of minor league baseball.
But it's the chance to pursue the dream. Right from the time that these guys were 5 years old throwing a baseball, they envisioned themselves. And a couple of our Eagles signed with the Red Sox. You know, and so they envisioned themselves playing at rustic, you know, Fenway Park. Somebody's got to do it, right? And it's that next step. So I think that a lot of them would think that the money is kind of secondary. It's the opportunity now to pave their way and to fulfill that ultimate dream of getting to pitch in the major leagues.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So let's say you're a junior and you get drafted and you say, you know, I want to finish my eligibility in college. So does that mean that Major League Baseball's attitude is you'll sign this year, kid, or we have no interest in you?
No, that is not the case. However, you're also taking the risk if you come back your senior year in college and get hurt, tear your labrum, all right, or hurt your elbow. Well, then you're damaged goods and nobody's going to want you. You will get nothing. And there have been instances where guys waived that junior year and said, I'm going to come back, and then did get hurt that senior year. And some of them have kicked themselves saying, I should have gone when I had the opportunity. Of course, you know, second guessing, that's always 20-20, right? But it's the opportunity. I'm telling you, the money for a lot of them is secondary. It's the chance to make it to the bigs and to be that guy.
All right, yeah. Luke, presuming they all sign and leave, what will the pitching staff look like next year?
Well, just before you get to that, just to say why, you know, we're hinting at some of these guys, you know, would go. So Rodgers in the third round, that pick's worth, and I'm just using rough numbers here, between $610,000 and $650,000. So he's gone. And tip your cat, way to go, son. I mean, we're proud of you. Tyler Stewart in the sixth, that value slot is right at $290,000. So yeah, he's gone too. Harper's slot last year was right around $125,000. Now, our good friend Patrick McGee out of Hattiesburg gave me an interesting statistic. 94% in the last 4 years of guys drafted in the 14th round have signed. But Harper's different because he's got one more COVID year. He's not technically a senior. And so he's got a little more leverage. And so it could be a situation where he, you know, maybe wants a little more money, and that would keep him coming back from Southern Miss. Ramsey yesterday, this is on Andrew Abadie's Twitter page, just where he interviewed these guys yesterday. Ramsey hinted at it and said, I'm blessed to be joining that organization, speaking of the Red Sox, because me and Dalton Rodgers went to high school together. And so it seems as if Ramsey's going to do that. And to your point about injury, Kelly, this is probably why Ben Etheridge will sign as a 15th rounder, because, you know, he's had some arm issues, and somebody drafts him like that, he's going to go. What I was hitting at earlier, so at the beginning of the season, Southern Miss had 18 pitchers, according to the roster. It may have been 19, because I don't know if Wehunt's on there. So we've lost four to the portal: Blake Wehunt to Kennesaw, Waldrop to Florida, Will Tynes in the portal right now, and then Gillentine went to Charlotte. Five to the draft. So if Harper comes back, that's four. And then we lost Boyd and Riggins to graduation, which would mean even if Harper comes back, we would have lost 10 of the 18 or 19 pitchers going into this last year's season.
All right, but who's coming in?
So one of the guys, one of the big names to come in, of course, Tyler Martin out of Nebraska. But a kid out of Eastern Connecticut that was a really good D3 pitcher, his name's Billy Oldham. At Eastern Connecticut, they won the national championship in D3 this past year. He put up a 2.53 ERA. He was 12-2 with a 104 whip, struck out 120 batters, and walked just 24 in 16 starts.
Okay, so we've got two coming in. The kid from Nebraska, let's emphasize, Nebraska, and the kid from Eastern Connecticut.
I think there's one more, actually, too, that's coming in. I'll work to get you that name. But you got to think about the guys coming back. Of course, Tanner Hall, a guy I think a lot of people are excited after they saw him pitch in the Super Regional, Nico Mazza, Chandler Best, you know, obviously some of if you get Harper back, you feel better about that situation. Matt Adams, Isaiah Rhodes, all these are guys, you know, that pitched and will pitch next year for sure.
Well, and the great news is that we have the Wizard of Oz over on the campus to replenish the pitching staff, Kelly.
Well, we talked earlier this week about how pitching has become at a premium in Major League Baseball. And you saw it yesterday. The only Southern Miss guys that got drafted were pitchers. And that's going to be a trend that is going to continue. So you parents that get upset that your 12-year-old travel team won't play your son at shortstop or at second base and they just use him as a pitcher, It's not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing because pitchers are at a premium. William Carey University of Hattiesburg also had a pitcher selected yesterday, a lefty, and good for him. He got drafted by Detroit. That's not such good news. but nonetheless, Mississippi's really getting to be a hotbed, you know, for college baseball. But again, pitching is at a premium. There's nothing wrong with just having your kid be a pitcher only.
One more thing, too, our listeners need to know. Tate Parker was not drafted. Matt Etzel, big-time transfer coming in. He can play outfield. He was leading, I think, the average in average in the MLB draft league. So those are two hitters that did not get drafted. And so, you know, you look at with Ramsey going to be gone, Etheridge going to be gone, Stewart going in the sixth round. We were saying, wonder about some of these guys, and we were almost worried that Etzel and Parker would go. They didn't, which is good news for the offensive side of Golden Eagle baseball.
And they were so deep, and granted, they did lose a lot of guys to the transfer portal, graduation, and the draft. But there are lots of good pitchers out there. Coach Ostrander will develop them, and I have every confidence that they'll be ready to roll come next February.
No question. Patrick McGee, NOLA.com. We're going to talk about Luke's favorite subject. And Kelly's, too, New Orleans Saints football.
Hey, New Orleans may be getting a soccer franchise as well.
Well, that's exciting. Next.
To the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Campus Bookmart sponsors the second segment of the Eagle Hour every day. It's a great place to buy your Southern Miss apparel for your home, for your car, for your body. You can shop online at campusbookmart.net. Shop in person on Hardy Street 6 days a week right across from the Southern Miss campus. Quick reminder, you can hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can do that anytime, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. It's Wednesday. We go to the Crescent City of New Orleans, and that's where our buddy Patrick McGee from NOLA.com updates us, I think, weekly now, Patrick, as we're getting close to the start of NFL football season. What's the latest news from the New Orleans Saints?
Well, we're exactly a week away from the start of training camp, which will be July 27th. I think some rookies are already reporting around the NFL. So, it's pretty much here. You got the SEC Media Days going on this week, and things kind of moving towards the NFL training camp getting started up. So, it's getting here. It always kind of creeps up on you. You know, you're bored for a while, then all of a sudden it's here. And yeah. The football season's right around the corner.
Yeah, speaking of the highest paid professional football players in the country, it is SEC Media Week, isn't that right, Patrick?
Yeah, I've tried to watch and keep tabs. Part of my job here is, you know, helping with their LSU coverage and monitoring that. I've never been so bored in my life. No, I mean we need a Steve Spurrier or somebody.
Our kind of guy.
I mean, since Jimbo and Saban have to play nice, it's really been pretty boring.
Yeah. All right, so can Luke get ready for a division championship, Patrick, or is the GOAT going to just crush his feelings again?
Well, eventually the GOAT's got to become an old GOAT at some point. And you know, I mean, he was very good last year. He's been very good for silver seasons now. But it was odd offseason. He retires. He unretires. And I have no doubt that he's going to be ready to go day one. But will he be the Tom Brady we've seen the last two decades? So I think the Saints are in a good position. There's really, you know, as long as they have Kamara in there for a not too lengthy suspension and Michael Thomas comes on board and is good to go there early in the season, kind of full go, I think the Saints don't really have many weak points. They're probably not going to be quite as experienced as linebackers they were a year ago, losing Quan. He's still a free agent. So you'll have some kind of younger guys starting there. But the secondary's been upgraded. Defensive line maybe not quite as deep, but still very good, especially on the edges. Across the board, I think the Saints are in a pretty good spot.
Is there any way to know, Patrick, where we are on the timeline as to when we'll find out what Kamara's punishment may be?
No, it's the legal side is still playing out. They've had multiple delays for a court appearance, so this is something that is really uncertain. I think at some point in August, I think maybe around mid-August, is whenever he's supposed to have his court appearance. So maybe closer to that time, it's possible that it could play into the season where, you know, Kamara starts, the first two or three games of the season and the NFL comes down with some type of ruling. But it's really hard to say.
And I ask that question because this is going to sound stupid, and I get it, but there's a lot of fantasy football guys that are sitting around planning their drafts asking, you know, how high should you take Alvin Kamara? How many games may he have to sit out? And at this point, we have absolutely no hint even of what may be coming down the pipe.
Right, yeah, and everybody's kind of counterbalancing this with what Deshaun Watson is facing. If Watson gets this, what will Kamara get? It's a weird deal.
There's no comparison. There should be no comparison.
It was exceptionally stupid what Kamara did, but no, there is no comparison.
No, there's not.
It's Watson. I think there was a report out today or yesterday that Watson, that the Browns were expecting an 8-game suspension, which I think would be pretty weak. I think a half game suspension doesn't do the job if they want to be taken seriously.
Yeah, well, if you just suspended him one game for every woman that's accused him of molesting him, he'd be out two years.
At least
2 years that we know about.
Yeah.
I regress. Luke, get involved here.
Patrick, I don't think I've talked to you since Baker Mayfield went to Carolina. How does that change, if anything, the atmosphere of the NFC South?
Well, I think it adds kind of a wild card to it. I mean, we've seen Mayfield be very good at times. The Cleveland deal isn't always the best. I mean, I think they play good football. I like the coach they have there. I don't like the decision they made by going after Deshaun. But I think adding Mayfield does, you know, maybe make the Panthers a little bit relevant. It's a team that the Saints are going to have to contend with a little bit more. Atlanta's going to be a bad football team this year, as everyone expects. But the Panthers are that team that's just close enough to where they could pick off. If you know, you want to beat the Panthers twice if you're the Saints, and this just increases the chance of something odd happening and the Saints losing one of those football games. So it definitely changes things. The Panthers could be anywhere from a 5-win team to a 9-win team, you know, somewhere around there. So it does kind of complicate things in the division, I think, for the Saints.
Yeah. I think Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback.
Well, it's you never know what you're going to get sometimes with him. He could be lights out or he could be rough. But and I think Matt Rhule's on the hot seat as well in Carolina. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris Olave, a lot of people excited about him. I saw something pretty cool earlier this week. He was actually sitting in, I think, with some of the city council of the city mm-hmm. of New Orleans, basically talking about, you know, what can he do for the community. And we were off air, we were kind of talking about, you know, the unique aspect. New Orleans may not be the biggest market, and that may in some sense play in its strength to situations like Olave, where they look at their, you know, their professional athletes, and a lot of times, more often than not, Saints players and other players like get involved in the community. And I thought that was awesome to see with him.
Yeah, that was a good thing. I mean, if you want to see these athletes making genuine, you know, efforts, not just holding a celebrity softball game and raising money, which is great, but actually getting out there and getting hands-on with what you've seen Honey Badger here lately really try to get engaged with youth. He's such a huge figure in this town and in this state. But, yeah, Olave, if he's doing that, that's a good sign, because there is a problem in New Orleans, specifically with the youth and teenagers. You see the crime surge, and too often you see teenagers being arrested for some really horrific crimes. So you've just got a community that's kind of just in a really rough spot, and the more these athletes can kind of engage and may hopefully make an impression on these kids at a young age, maybe you can make some type of difference. So, it's definitely a positive.
Meanwhile, Patrick, you look at the Southern Miss football schedule. One of the opponents, of course, is the Tulane Green Wave. The Eagles mm-hmm. will play the Wave in New Orleans, midseason. What are we hearing out of Willie Fritz's camp there at Tulane? How are the Green Wave going to be this year, you think?
You know, it's been hard to say. I haven't seen much reporting on the Green Wave. football team here lately. I wish I could give you more on that, but I think our beat writer for Tulane was writing here about baseball. I think Tulane had one guy drafted in the MLB draft, and that probably tells you where the Tulane baseball program stands at the moment.
You've got until week four of the regular season to school up, because that's when we have to ask you the tough questions about Tulane.
But, no, I don't expect much out of Tulane this year, just the way they played last year. They looked good early in the season and kind of flaked out. You know, so I'm not a Tulane buyer going into this season. Right. I think losing Will Hall on that staff was a big deal.
All right, Patrick, and the thing that Bob Getty is really wanting to hear the most about is that New Orleans is potentially going to be home of a professional soccer franchise. Oh, strike up the chorus.
Yeah, USL is the division below MLS. It's a substantial deal. They're talking about 2025. You both have both a professional men's and women's teams here in New Orleans. The question really is you know, kind of developing the brand, the mascot, colors, everything, and where the heck they're going to play. There's an effort to renovate the old Zephyr Stadium, Baby Cake Stadium, which is now called the Shrine on Airline. They're putting millions of dollars into that to make it a facility to host both football and potentially soccer. So Metairie could be one site, but there's also a site they're looking at over by the river near the convention center where there's a lot of space that they're hoping to come and develop and do some stuff there. I think that's where they would like to put a site. And I think it's a good idea. You know, New Orleans is a big enough market for professional soccer. There would be interest in this community, just knowing the people here. So I think it would be a positive development. But it would be those games that, you know, if they're playing anywhere in the late spring and into the summer, it'd be some hot games.
And if they're going to have a men's team and a women's team, it would lead you to believe that the athletes will have to declare one gender or the other. Patrick's not even commenting on that, Bob.
I like the idea of soccer in New Orleans, because – unlike Bob Getty, I appreciate worldwide taste, and that
man,
is
I'm
the
excited.
Most
I'm excited about a soccer team in New Orleans. You
yeah. Well, New Orleans in a lot of different ways is an international city. You know, in terms of you know the people that come here and the people that live here, there's a lot of people that come in from Europe, and there's a lot of ties to Europe. So it makes sense, and just it's got kind of a you see communities like Portland really get behind it, and there's kind of a Portland aspect to New Orleans. So. I think people really like to watch soccer here, and I think it'll do well.
Patrick, I'd apologize for Kelly, but you're used to him by now, so I don't
know. I'm in no way surprised. Okay. I just expect to be disappointed on a weekly basis.
Wow.
Thank you, Patrick. Patrick McGee,
all right,
everybody.
There you guys.
Oh, he knows you well.
What a ringing endorsement that is.
Well. Huh? Patrick McGee, NOLA.com. We're going to tell you all about James Madison University. Everything you've ever wanted to know next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Got two text messages during the break. Head baseball coach Scott Berry will be joining us Friday at 1, and Patrick McGee text me and said he's never coming back on the show again.
My fault. My bad. Oops. Was it something I said?
I can't imagine. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. It's a great place to have lunch 5 days a week. $9.95. It is a working man's lunch, so that's the best kind of food.
And they love me at 4th Street, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's really not what they say when you're not around.
Okay.
But if it makes you feel any better, yes, Kelly, they love you. They love you very much at the 4th Street Bar and Grill. Hey, we've been talking to officials from all the schools in the new Sun Belt Conference. Today we have Kevin Warner, who is the Associate Athletic Director for Communication at James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And Kevin, we're glad to have you on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Glad to be on. Thanks for the invite, and excited to talk to our conference mates. Excited to be conference mates.
We're all excited here in Southern Mississippi about joining the Sun Belt. Let our listeners know a little bit about James Madison, the history of your athletic program, student enrollment, all the good stuff about your university.
Sure. It's hard to condense it, but I'll do the best I can. JMU was founded in 1908, so a relatively young institution. We're in Harrisonburg, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, which, if you're not familiar with, is a very picturesque, just beautiful area of the country. We're right between the Blue Ridge Mountains to the east and Shenandoah National Park, and then the Appalachian Mountains, George Washington, Jefferson National Forest to our west in West Virginia. So just scenic mountains all around, and we're in the valley, just pleasant, recreational place to live. The university has grown a lot. It started as a women's college, a teacher's school, and has grown over the years. From early enrollment, they added men to make a co-ed in the 60s, and we're to the point now we're about 22,000 students, mostly undergrad, a small number of grad. It's about 20,000 undergrad, 2,000 grad. Large campus. Our athletics program became varsity around 1970. We became Division I around 1977, FCS, and then obviously now transitioning to FBS. So we're still young, about 40 years as a Division I athletics program, but we've had a lot of success in that time in a number of sports, 4 national championships, 2 FCS football, 1 in women's lacrosse, 1 in field hockey. We've had men's soccer 3 different times be a national quarterfinalist. And obviously the softball run to the Women's College World Series, folks may remember from last year. And we really pride ourselves on widespread success across the department. We are not a 1 or 2 sport show. We're very proud of our women's sports. Our women's sports traditionally achieve a lot of success across all of them. Women's basketball, softball, women's lacrosse, field hockey, all high achieving programs. We put resources equitably into all of our sports and expect a lot of them, but also try to give them the best that they can achieve at a high level.
Luke?
Kevin, thanks so much for coming on. You know, from the Southern Miss perspective, Conference USA, that where we're coming out of, they're bringing several programs up from FCS. And I did not, when it was announced that James Madison was coming to the Sun Belt, I did not feel the same way. And what I mean by that is, you guys, you know, with what you've done in football the last several years, I mean, you're just top of the class. And so you feel like this is a team that wasn't given, you know, an opportunity to come, you know, to an FBS football conference as a handout. Like, this is a quality program, and that's what we felt like with, you know, with Sun Belt leadership, is that they're going after, like, products, like the quality products that's going to go on the field, as you said, in all sports. What was it for James Madison, you know, that said, yeah, we're going to do this with the Sun Belt?
Yeah, I think first of all, that's a good observation, and we would agree. We were not going to be FCS transitioning school that said, okay, let's try to make the numbers work and do the best we can to be FBS. We've been extremely strategic for years. We did a feasibility study in 2013. We've been strategically and methodically making improvements to facilities and our infrastructure, our personnel infrastructure, so that, I mean, in a lot of ways, and to be honest, we feel like we're already operating at an FBS level than maybe half the group of 5, just in terms of being set up for success and putting ourselves in the best position. We've been very careful of, as any opportunities, as there been any inquiries, what would that look like? Jumping at FBS for the sake of FBS, but is it the right opportunity?
Right.
And I think when you look at the Sun Belt and the schools that were already in it last year, and then, you know, Southern Miss is a great peer institution, but specifically look at Old Dominion and Marshall for us geographically, combine that with App State and the other Eastern Division schools, it was a no doubt, a no brainer. It just made complete sense across the board at that point.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to a guy from Texas State the other day, and they kind of lost the travel partner with Arlington. You guys get two, and we had talked to Ted Alexander back in, I think, last fall when the news broke. I know James Madison and Old Dominion, there's a lot of history there, and I know you guys are thrilled to be playing each other regularly.
There is a lot of history, and that 757 Norfolk area of Virginia is actually a key area for us. We get a lot of students in the general student body from that beach tidewater area. So it's a natural rivalry because they already live around each other. They're attending, applying to same schools and seeking the same programs. It's a natural fit. It's 3.5 hours away, two easy interstates, and just really similar peer institutions. I talked already about the approach to all sports, the pride that we have in our women's sports. And a lot of that history of women's sports has been really big games against Old Dominion in women's basketball and field hockey. There's so much history between these schools, whether it's the CAA or the time before and after we were conference partners. And we're really excited to renew those rivalries in all of our sports.
So, Kevin, the coming out of the Colonial, you guys are the football team is handicapped anyway with some things the NCAA says that they will not be able to compete for this year as they transition into the Sun Belt. Kind of bring our listeners up to speed as to what James Madison's situation is with the NCAA, this season as they now come into the Sun Belt.
Sure. The current NCAA legislation is that it's a two-year transition for any school going from FCS to FBS. And the real reason for that is they want to make sure that you're equipped to be successful at the FBS level. We really feel like we're in a unique situation because we already meet attendance requirements. We already have so much built in terms of services and personnel to support our student athletes compared to FBS peers. And honestly, even the COVID extra eligibility rules, everyone's already carrying rosters higher than the FCS 63 scholarships anyway. So we're already kind of there in the scholarship number transition. We just feel like we're in a really unique situation that we can be successful. So we are in the process of an application to the NCAA to reduce that to 1 year. That will not be reviewed and we won't hear back until probably early 2023. So for now, we are basically assuming it's a two-year transition with the hope it could be reduced to one. And another factor in all of that is all the work that's taking place right now with the NCAA Transformation Committee and determining the future of the NCAA. And the NCAA is not in a hurry right now to, grant exceptions and do all these things for schools while it's actually trying to decide its future and some major legislation impact.
So that means football-wise, what will you not be able to win this year?
Yeah, so we cannot win the Sun Belt Conference Championship and cannot participate in a bowl game. But we'll play a full Sun Belt schedule. Obviously, that's out there. And we can go 8-0 like Georgia Southern did a few years back if we're so fortunate. We just can't be declared the champion. We can't play in a conference championship game and not advance to a bowl game.
All right, Kevin. Just a little less than a minute left, but I did hear you mention field hockey and some sports like that, which may not be played at schools like Southern Miss, Louisiana, schools like that. What happens to those kids?
Yeah, right now, field hockey, women's swimming and diving, and lacrosse, women's lacrosse, do not have homes in the Sun Belt. Women's lacrosse, we have an affiliate agreement with the American Conference, and that looks like a great fit. Field hockey will play as an independent. Women's swimming and diving, we're still kind of working on. The great news is that the Sun Belt is exploring adding field hockey and swimming and diving as sports. With us coming on board, with Old Dominion coming on board, Marshall, there's some fit and interest there. So hopefully that will come to fruition. They're still working through that. But, those are regional sports. It's more of a mid-Atlantic, northeast region for those sports. So that's kind of why the Sun Belt just didn't have a home for it right now.
Right. All right, Kevin, great conversation. We really appreciate your time. We look forward to athletic competition with your fine university.
I appreciate it as well. Looking forward to Southern Miss JMU games in the near future.
All right. Kevin Warner, Associate Athletic Director for Communications, James Madison. Very interesting, I think, to talk to these schools.
The Dukes of James Madison.
There we go. Only Kelly would know. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Appreciate Kevin Warner from James Madison University joining us and learning about the Dukes. If you missed that, of course, we're on all the platforms, every single one of them. Bob, the list, please.
Tune in, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcast, Audible, Apple Podcast, or you can tell Alexa to play Super Talk Eagle Hour.
There we go.
Thanks to
Eagle
Michael
Hour.
Martin.
On a Wednesday from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Scheduled to have two more Sunbelt schools on tomorrow. We'll be talking to Kevin Davis of Coastal Carolina, and then later we'll talk to Danny Reed of Georgia State over in the ATL, and then have Georgia Southern on Friday. Good stuff. All right, the third name, I was telling you guys some of the transfers that are coming in, Edsel and Parker, new guys coming in, but specifically from the portal, Tyler Martin of Nebraska, the Oldham kid from Eastern Connecticut. The third is actually a Mississippi guy coming in from Tennessee Tech, Gabe Lacy. He's an infielder in this past year for Tennessee Tech. Man, guys, he had a really, really good season. Second on the team in batting average, batted .329 with 16 home runs. 12 home runs, 63 RPIs, and batted .329. So Gabe Lacy coming in originally out of Gulfport, transferring from Tennessee Tech. Frank Gore Jr., named to the Doug Walker preseason award, so always cool to see Frank. You have to be a running back, but, you know, is he going to get something for the O'Brien as well because of his quarterback abilities? I'm not sure, but Superback, the head of the Superback committee, Frank Gore Jr., named as a preseason candidate for Doug Walker.
Look, let me go back to baseball real quickly, too. One other, I think, bit of good news is there was some real concern that the young man were also high on.
Tate Parker?
Out of Pearl River, the center fielder, home run king, that we might lose him to the draft, but that doesn't appear to be the case. He's coming to Southern Miss. Is that correct?
Yeah, Parker's coming. Mentioned at the top of the show, we were really concerned that he or Matt Edsel might get drafted, and neither one of them did. So thankful for that. Golden Eagles will hold on to those two guys.
And another big catcher that we've had out here at the studio that Kelly said was the best high school catcher that he ever saw play.
Graham Crawford, yeah, also out of Pearl River by way of Alabama. And meanwhile, a youngster that I think Luke talked about yesterday from Brandon, Mississippi, a catcher who's still in high school, but he has committed to the
Jake
Black
Keys.
And gold.
Well, Scott Berry will be on the show with us Friday, but relax, Golden Eagle fans, because the Eagles are still a loaded bunch. You got the best pitching coach probably in the country, a great head coach, a lot of real talented players coming onto an already talented roster.
And speaking of Scott Berry, happy birthday to you.
Yeah, it's his birthday, isn't it? Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, best baseball coach in the land, Scott Berry. Happy birthday to you.
One of his colleagues, head football coach Will Hall, addressed the members of Club One of Hattiesburg yesterday and some of the things that he was talking about. You mentioned Frank Gore Jr. He's put on about 15 pounds in the offseason, all in a good way, of course. Cole Cavallo's getting some preseason notoriety across the country as a tight end and fullback. They'll implement him as a fullback some this year. But one of the things that Coach Hall made sure that he pointed out was for the first time that we know of, every single player on the football roster this fall is on track to be academically eligible. Now, what does that tell you?
That's really good news. That's important news.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter, and I talk to high school athletes all the time, it doesn't matter how good you think you are or how good these coaches think you might be. If you can't get it done in the classroom, you are of no use to them because you can't participate anyway. And I wish more athletes at a younger age would get that through their heads. That, look, even if you don't like school, you still have to get it done because you're not going to be eligible to play. But as Will Hall also said yesterday, he said it's not that our players last year were bad football players. We just didn't have enough of them. But now a lot of the depth issues at a lot of the positions have been addressed. But one of the things then that can steal players away from you, again, is players not being academically eligible. And right. Again, according to Will Hall yesterday, all rostered football players are on track to be eligible for the fall.
And Kelly is still eligible at Mo Bay Beignet. You're still out. They haven't tossed you yet.
I will never lose my eligibility.
But that's not a buffet, so there's no problem. There's no problem
well,
for you.
Well, today it's not a buffet. I'm working on it.
Yeah, Kelly trying to talk him into doing the Beignet buffet at Mo Bay Beignet.
It's got a ring to it, doesn't it?
It does. But for the time being, you just order your beignets and they cook them for you. You can get three at a time, or as Kelly does, a dozen at a time.
Well, I was going to say, the only thing is the servers must be a little hard of hearing, because when I do order a dozen at a time, they go, how many?
They'll get used to it.
Sort of
like Patrick McGee.
Here he comes.
Yeah. Mo Bay Beignet on Hardy Street. We hope that you'll enjoy a beignet and some hot coffee and tell them that you heard all about it on the Eagle Hour.
Put a little bit of that chicory in there, too.
Chicory coffee. And look, you like those toppings, don't you?
Yeah, cinnamon and buttercream syrup. Last time I was in there, I actually had a frozen coffee, and it was. I think I walked out like sprinting because I had so much sugar intake, but it was so good.
It's a great place to go for a sweet summer treat. That wraps up the Eagle Hour, and we appreciate you listening each and every day. Hope you'll catch us on our podcast from time to time as well. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock talking to folks from Coastal Carolina and Georgia State. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.